Welcome back to the Space Case Sarah Show with my space nerds, Benjamin and Kavi. If you listened to last week's episode, you will remember that we have officially started a duel of who gets back into the studio first. And so I am the one who controls when we start a new recording session. And what happens is the guys get bumped out into a green room and then they have to let themselves back in into the recording studio. And so there is a race now to see who gets back in first. And I am tallying it, and I don't know what the prize is going to be in the end, but someone's gonna be the champion. I think I said by December. We'll tally it up by the end of the year, and the winner, somebody's going to win something. So, unfortunately, I do think Benjamin has a little bit of an advantage because he's in the United States with me.
It's the internet delay, you know.
Yeah.
Information can only travel so fast from Australia.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
I think that's the internet. All right, aliens. So one of the things I think is funny is when we're like aliens and life out there, we're just as alien to any life that would be out there too. We are also aliens. We're just not aliens to ourselves in this planet, but if there was intelligent life out there, we would be aliens to them. And this is the stuff of science fiction. I think that it's really also very intriguing and telling that so much science fiction has been created around exploring for life and answering that question if we're alone. And one of the things that it's not of science fiction, but it's I think it's been largely kind of proven to not be super accurate, that has been done in the past was Frank Drake, who created an equation to basically say, like, somebody explained it to me in a way that it's not to give the probability of, like, what are the odds that there is life out there? It's more, what are the odds that there is intelligent life and why haven't we touched base with them yet? That's what the point of that equation is. It's not like plug these numbers in and it'll tell you the statistical odds that we're alone. It's more like why if the odds are overwhelmingly in our favor that we are probably not alone, why haven't we heard from anybody? Why, like, are we in this timeout corner of the universe where no one wants to come over to? Or
it's because of the dinosaurs. They misbehaved and now we're in timeout.
Yeah,
they came over here a few million years ago. I'm like, whoa. We're going to get killed here.
Yeah, these big feathery lizards. No, thank you.
Nope. Who were also made out of carbon, though. So they're still just, they were the same stuff. Which, again, going back to that one YouTube show that I was telling you about, that they look at evolutionary hits. And so they look at on Earth, each time that there is a mass extinction, there are certain things that always come back. And so they're like feathers and eyes and, you know, like there's things that just seem to always make a comeback. And that's how they use that then to, like, theoreticize, well, on another planet, if this planet is this far away from its star, they'd have, like, really big eyes because they need to take in as much light as they possibly can. So it's kind of creepy. It's cool. I like it. But anyway, so Frank Drake comes up with this formula. It's been a little bit tossed back and forth as not super credible anymore, but I think it is a part of his legacy, obviously, that he did what so many other physicists and mathematicians tried to do, which is try to give a quantifiable way of predicting something. And the way that this has worked, and Kavi, you brought it up in the first segment so perfectly, the way this has worked in the past is like with Interstellar, where they came up with this idea, this model of what a black hole would look like. And then we finally actually took a picture of it, and it looked just like the movie, which was wild, right? So, you know, it's definitely a part of his legacy. And again, we're doing this in honor of Frank passing. I think it was 3 days ago, 4 days ago, he passed away. And I guess the question is, though, why haven't we heard anything back? Why haven't, you know, I know that we've only been sending radio signals out for so long, but why haven't we picked anything up? Do we just not have the technology? Like, what do you guys think?
Well, empty space. The universe is so much, so full of empty space. And when you finally get to the place where the stars are, I'm betting, seeing how with the success of James Webb and other exoplanet hunters, there are so many planets around so many stars, and our star isn't anything spectacular compared to other stars. What would make an alien civilization say, pick that star? And you know what? There's a rock going around it. Not the first one, not the second one, the third one. Go to the third one. Right. There's life there. There's nothing really fancy. And if you're talking about all of our radio and TV signals that have been going out, they've only been going out our planet with some power that could be reach other stars for like the last 50, 60 years. Mm-hmm. So we have this little bubble where our signals are going out farther and farther and degrading the further they go. That's about a radius of 50, 60 light years. And that's not a lot compared to the massive size of everything and the space between everything. And so maybe somebody could be cruising through and trying to listen to whatever's on the radio, as it were, as they're going through the outback of this random back end part of this spiral arm of this galaxy we're in. But I don't think it's going to really catch on anything, but it's possible. And as Carl Sagan said, because we all love what he says all the time, some civilization somewhere had to be first. So it could be us, which would suck because then there's nothing else. But I sincerely doubt that's the case.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's just the odds are overwhelmingly against it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just based on where we are, based on the perceived timeline of the Big Bang, if the Big Bang, you know, is still a model that we can uphold at this point. Thanks, James Webb. But still, even for as far back as we can see, let's just say that we're kind of out there in the. So, yeah, go ahead. The physicists let me just, are like,
no, I've just been myself and a few other astrophysicists who like to communicate science online have been kind of overwhelmed with the need to push back on people saying that, oh, James Webb has, you know, disproved the Big Bang. It hasn't, and it won't. Everything still points in the direction of the Big Bang is the best model for understanding how the universe started and expanded and what is driving, you know, the way that everything works now. The cosmic microwave background radiation that we see in every direction uniformly, the fact that we see this expansion happening uniformly and happening at a faster and faster rate further out as we look. And so James Webb is just giving us these insights into, you know, these far-reaching corners of the universe that we haven't had before. So don't panic. Everything is fine. the Big Bang
is... I'm not panicked. No, it's that science is doing what it's supposed to do, which is to ask questions. And it is absolutely okay for something maybe not to be right. And we then reassess the data. And I love it so much. I mean, it's sort of, it makes me think of, you know, the model of how we understand the moon formed. We have a very, very strong leading theory. We just, you know, unless there's some evidence that could suggest something better, that's the best leading theory.
If you want to talk about fun theories, have you guys heard of panspermia?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I love that theory so much. And is so in line with... Sorry, I just got really excited. But that is so in line with this...
Let's talk about Prometheus.
Carbon! I love the beginning of that movie. Carbon! Let's talk about panspermia. Let's do it.
For those at home who don't understand why we're all yelling...
loud noises!
Panspermia. Basically, in the same way that, like, if you want to phrase scientific questions in order to answer them, right? So like Benjamin was saying, that you kind of have two possibilities: either we're alone in the universe or we're not. Both equally scary, but it seems more likely, infinitely more likely, that we're not, because of the way that life forms, the way that we've seen it form here on Earth in different environments. And so, when it comes to the formation of life, there seem to be two main options, and this is a lot of the work that astrobiologists are doing, to figure out that if and when we do discover life on a different planet, or you know, even in a different planet and different star system, you know, an exoplanet, it would be to try to figure out, does this life have the same point of origin as our life? Meaning, is it something that was created independently in a different place, which would be mind-blowing, or did it come from the same place as our life came from? And that's the idea of panspermia. It's the idea that you have a single point of origin reaching out through the universe to different rocks orbiting around different stars. And there's been some really cool work actually done on the transfer of material between the gravitational field of Earth and the gravitational field of Mars. And it's kind of on the scale of millions of years, you have these rocks, asteroids, that are, have bits of, you know, the same chemical signatures of Mars somehow ending up on Earth and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And so that is, you know, a fact that's been used to prop up or to support evidence of panspermia being a real thing. The idea that, you know, rocks can carry these tiny bits of life throughout the cosmos. And
yes. Yeah. And if I can elaborate on that so people can get a better visual. Yes. So the universe, or I'm sorry, our Milky Way, you know, everything in space is spiraling, right? So we're spinning around our sun, and then our solar system is spinning in the Milky Way, and the Milky Way is spinning. And so the idea is that maybe when we dragged around a certain part of space in all of this rotational motion, that we hit a pocket of something where there was life, which to me is like Pandora's box of, well, then where did that come from? Right. But, you know, but it's still that it hit that little pocket, and maybe life got picked up in Venus and Mars and Earth, and, you know, and then that the conditions just stuck for Earth to continue on that life, but the other planets could not. And I think that it really is actually one of my, like, you know, when you see someone model it out and they break it down and they show you how everything is swirling and moving around, you're like, I do. And then you're like tardigrades and you're like, God, they can live in the vacuum of space. And like, what else could have lived in the vacuum of space? Oh, I love tardigrades, by the way. Like, shout out to my favorite. Yeah, they're the best.
My favorite extreme files.
So, right. You know, it really is. Space is big. I think that, like, if we can summarize this carbon episode, carbon seems to be like the big hit of evolution and the universe.
And speaking of life on other planets, would now be a good time to do to wrap things up with our space sound, perhaps.
Oh, yes. We totally forgot about our space sound. Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. I just barreled into this conversation without any... any too much thought of formalities. We want to do a space sound.
Let's do a spacey one.
We have a space sound picked out, and we're gonna, as we did last time, drop it in, and none of us will be able to hear it until post-production. But we'll all act as though we're like mesmerized, and it's gonna be louder than the last time. Okay. Yeah, so I'm so sorry. I totally plowed through this without thinking about that. So here is a chance to win some swag from IROC. This is kind of a trickier sound than the last one, but the last one was tricky because you couldn't hear it at all. So this one is trickier. But yes, it does pertain to like this concept of carbon and life, and that's sort of the clue, the hint that we're going to give to you. So here is your sound. And if you think that you,
you can say that on the air.
You didn't know that I knew that aliens actually existed this whole time, and they're in the diner in Sedona, Arizona. God, come on.
I thought they were in Roswell.
No.
I've been to Roswell,
and they got some alien.
Oh, okay. I'll go.
That was also the first place that the little UFO shop, the first place that I saw the Crystal Skull Vodka by Dan Aykroyd. They were selling it in that shop, and this was I'm telling you, this was like 2010 2011. It was a long time ago. Now you can see that vodka on store shelves anywhere, but at the time it was like super kind of niche, because he's really into aliens, Dan Aykroyd.
He's very into aliens. He's very into the afterlife. Yeah. And he's a perfect guy to be a Ghostbuster. Let's just say that.
Yes. All right. You guys have been listening to the Space Case Sarah Show. We, of course, are very findable on social media. Again, I'm Space Case Sarah 22, depending on where you are also on the internet. Sometimes I have to slap that 22 on. Sometimes I don't. Benjamin is fun fact. I'm sorry. Actually, science, actually, depending on what platform you are on there. And then we have fun fact science that represents Kavi. But guess the sound. Just interact with us. We're very needy science communicators who like to talk. So go follow our pages and shoot us a message and be like, yo, you nerds.
Yeah.
Give us some online love. We
yeah,
need it.
We yeah. love it. And then right. don't forget
and if you
to
figure out what that space sound is, tell yes. any of us online and we'll swag you up.
We'll swag
you get
up.
So much, you get so swagged. It'd be great.
You get so much swag that people will be like, do you work for that station? And you'll be like, no, I just want a package. And that also leads me to say that please also go find iRock Space Radio. And if you find my shows page, I got a couple of co-hosts here who are now officially official of the officials.
Mm-hmm.
Bios and pictures are up there too. And that's where you can just click and listen live and hear what's going on. So we hope that you will engage with us online. And as always, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you all so much. You have been listening to the Space Case Sarah Show with the space nerds, Kavi and Benjamin, here on iRock Space Radio.